join me. And let me say, Mr. Ashman and I discussed to bring a number of the extensions forward, which are sort of on the cusp, where we have done a number of pollings, where we had previous requests. So all of these are in the same sort of state of consideration. So rather than clogging up the schedule on four different occasions, we wanted to allow you to look at all of these and decide on the merits, which ones you will want to see move forward and which ones you feel should stay back, if any.
We'll still clog up your schedule later, but that's okay. Yeah, we're here this morning to request permission to prepare and post notices for four projects, all in the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. The first one up for consideration is in the Chapel Branch area. This is a recently established new area. Includes the entire subdivision of Conley's Chapel Village and an adjacent parcel to maintain a contiguous path. The engineering department received requests from several property owners interested in having the boundary extended. Therefore, we mailed out a polling letter to the community and the adjacent parcels. The polling letter basically asked owners to respond as to whether they had an immediate need, a future need, or no current need for sewer service from the county. The results for the poll to date show 11 people with an immediate need, 22 with a future, and 15 with no current need. And as the county's in progress of designing the connections for the greater Chapel Branch area, we believe inclusion at this time would benefit the residents of the existing area as well as the Conley's Chapel Village existing in lieu of cost of a future tie-in to the Chapel Branch infrastructure.
Because that would allow us to group the entire design and the construction of the Chapel Branch together. So if they came in later, it would be a standalone and you would not get the economy of scale you would get today.
You have a motion?
I do. Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Conley's Chapel Village expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include all parcels in the subdivision and parcel 234-6-22 as presented on August 29th.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I will have the motion carried. Next, sir.
Okay, next one is parcels along Waterview Road and Bookhammer Landing Road from Camp Arrowhead Road to Joy Beach. The Joy Beach area has been probably on our radar since I started working in the engineering department. We've received requests from many property owners. We didn't really have a good close intersection for infrastructure. We now have a little bit more. Over the past several months, we've seen an increase in the requests. So again, we sent out letters. We mailed out to the community of Joy Beach and the parcels along Waterview Road that we need to get back to Joy Beach. The polling letter asked the same questions, immediate, future, or current need. 30 people with an immediate need, 30 with a future, and 33 with no current need. And a total of 105 parcels were pulled, and an additional 13 parcels are being added as recommended for a contiguous boundary, with two of those already requesting a connection, and one of them on an emergency connection. Like to request permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing for this area as well.
A motion?
I do. Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Joy Beach expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include parcels primarily along Waterview Road and Bookhammer Landing Road from Camp Arrowhead Road to Joy Beach as presented on August 29th, 2017.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I have the motion carried. Next.
This is sort of an infill area. The county is working on a project for Branch and Autumn Roads. You've seen it several times in here. This includes all parcels on Tux Road and Abbey Way. This is known as the Sherwood Forest West area. The Deerbrook subdivision is completing regional pump station in Forest Main to serve this area. The county has agreed to do the Branch and Hottam Road section of it. We will be undertaking installation of the gravity sewers to serve those areas. And as part of the contract, an effort to reduce cost to the residents by reducing mobilization costs and pure economies of scale, we would like to include the areas of Tux Road and Abbey Way.
Have a motion?
Yep. Be it moved by Sussex County Council, the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Tux Road expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include all parcels fronting Tux Road and Abbey Way, as well as parcels along Route 24 in the Long Neck area as presented on August 29, 2017.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlette. Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. And last, sir?
Now, Mr. President, this particular one here was not possible until the privately installed regional infrastructure would move forward. So that's why that has been in limbo for quite some time, and we had a number of requests from Branch and Autumn Road. Why is it not moving forward? So finally, we're able to move it forward.
Yeah, they make their connection out on Route 24, I think, in the next couple of months after the season, so we can move forward with that. Okay, my next one is for the Mallard Creek expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. This is in our Holtz Landing area. You don't see much from here. It includes the entire subdivision of Mallard Creek. This is another one that has been around forever, just trying to figure out a way to connect it. We finally started receiving requests again, sent out polling letters to the entire community, which has been working pretty well. The results of the poll to date showed 20 yes responses and 12 no responses. This was a simple yes or no. 78% of the community responded with 63% in favor. That's basically 32 out of 41 parcels. The county will install a pump station here to a gravity location to make a connection for the community.
And north of it's all that, is that, it's Bay Colony, right? Which
yes.
Which years ago had their own private system that we had to go in and take over and...
Correct.
And anyway, that's all been corrected and everything's working fine there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, everything there, and then I think the south end is seagrass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It's the donut hole in our district.
The old donut hole.
You have a motion, sir?
I do. Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Mallard Creek expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include all parcels in the subdivision of Mallard Creek in the Holtz Landing area as presented on August 29, 2017.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlette. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I have a yes, motion carried. Thank you, gentlemen.
Mr. President, it is our intent, unless you instruct us otherwise, to hold these hearings and then report back to you any amendments to the proposed boundary so you don't get totally bogged down in the council chamber with four big public hearings, because they will require off-premise type activities.
Sure.
So we will report back in the next couple of months.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We're actually going to do three of them in one Friday afternoon here, and the other one will be in front of you for Tux Road.
Yeah, the small
just
one.
Just a small
okay. Thank you very much.
Does that work for you?
It does. Thank we'll you. Make it work. Thank you. Grant request. We have one, Ms. Jennings.
Yes, thank you. Melody Joy Foundation, through the Delaware Community Foundation, is requesting support for the Dancing in the Street for Melody event that benefits KSI. KSI is an organization that was close to Melody's heart and one she served as a board member. KSI's mission is to assist people with disabilities in the pursuit of their potential in employment and meaningful participation in their communities. It is the first year for this event, and there is no specific amount requested. The event has sponsorship levels ranging from $250 to $2,500.
Anyone on council care to make
just a minute,
Nicole, don't check something out.
Yeah, I was just.
I was going to offer.
I guess we could do the
$500 each.
We could do $500 each, which is $2,500. And it is a benefit KSI, correct?
Correct.
We've already been giving KSI money, right?
We also give
them money. Yes, we do.
Do human services.
Yes.
The
human service grants.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. Cole. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying.
We can do anything we want to, obviously.
Yeah, I'm just trying to measure out.
Sure.
You know, degree that we should be giving it? You know, again, explain this. It's going to be a fundraiser just for KCI?
Yes.
KSI.
KSI. Mm-hmm. And we're proposing $2,500.
Well, that's what we said. They ask anything $500 to $2,500 is what their levels are. We could give $100 each council member, up to $500 each council member. That's entirely up to you people.
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of demands on things and okay. And stuff. And I would rather go at the $500 level and $100 each.
Well,
is my preference.
I don't care.
It's community foundation, and so it's a large organization. And
I would also add that this is in honor of our former family member and employee here too. So I think we should this granted KSI services both Kent and Sussex. Do we have a feel for where this will go as it relates to Sussex versus Kent?
We don't have a breakdown.
No,
as far as it would go to their organization that goes to both.
Can get big ones.
Anyone have Mr. Cole's ideas? $100 each council person.
Well, how about if we meet in the middle and go $200 each?
Mr. Cole, are you okay with that?
Majority rules. I'm just saying. My concern is that it's the beginning of the year and there is many demands on our funds for organizations.
Well, Mr. Cole was first. You made a motion for $100 for each council member mm-hmm. person. Anybody going to second that motion?
Guess not.
Okay. Now then, Mr. Harlett, your motion.
I'll do $200. Yeah, from each
council person.
$1,000 in total.
And have a second for that.
I'll second that.
Motion, Mr. Burke. So it's to grant $1,000. The Community Foundation with the Melody Joy Foundation fundraiser, which benefits the money goes to KSI. That'd be $200 for each Councilmatic district. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Obviously, yes. Motion carried. Introduction to proposed zoning ordinances. Mr. Moore?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. There are three. The first one is Mr. Burton's district, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 6.98 acres more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Burton introduces it.
The next one is Mr. Vincent's district, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 2.181 acres more or less.
I'll introduce it.
And the last one is in Mr. Cole's district, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a GRRPC general residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 21.26 acres more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Cole introduces it.
That is all.
Council member comments. Council member comments. Anybody?
I do, Mr. President. I did a few questions here or thoughts as based on today's agenda. So first one is, I know it was brought up by public comment about us having a penalty or a fee when somebody comes after the fact with a permit. So do we have that? Do we have anything in place, Mr. Lawson, as it relates to that? I mean, I have no clue about any numbers out there who's, and when we go out and do this permits and do these inspections, could you address that at all?
Yes, and also let me clarify, because in the same comment, it was noted that a portion of the tax bill went up, and I wanted to clarify that if the tax bill did go up, it wasn't at the decision of this council, it was the state portion of the tax bill that would have increased. So we certainly do monitor the building permit side of the county as it relates to our assessments, and we are hopeful that when someone makes an improvement to their property that a building permit is pulled. That is the mechanism that we have in place right now. I'm not certain if there are fees levied when a building permit is not pulled, or if a building permit is pulled after work has begun. But that is the process that we have right now, and quite frankly, given the size and scope of this this county, I'm not certain that there is another way of doing it, short of going in each individual property and reassessing those properties to see if improvements have been made or if improvements have been taken away.
Okay. But how about, I guess the question, let's say somebody builds something, doesn't get a permit.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point in time down the road, that shows up,
mm-hmm.
and then they've got to get a permit.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, I'm going to guess there is not today, but I mean, my question would be, should there be something in place to somehow recoup the back part of that?
Ms. Jennings, you want to address?
We don't do it at the time. We don't go back and rebuild. It's going to probably be our word against them how long it's been there. But we can definitely look into it to see what we can do, if there's a way to recoup that or how far back we can go once that it's found. Okay. But we don't do it at this time.
I'm only saying that from the thought that the gentleman at the microphone this morning, I heard him, in my mind, make a suggestion to the public that there's no penalty if you don't get a permit until you get caught. Why should I buy a permit? Just play it till you get caught. That's what I heard him say.
And that's what occurs.
And that, I'm sure it does occur, but now he's suggesting to people, that's certainly on the audio, it's wherever it is, it might be something to maybe consider, think about. I mean, with all the technology today with Google Earth and all these maps, you can go back and look at properties, you can probably look from different years as to what's there or not there. I'm just...
So we have taken great steps recently in the addition of our technology that our inspectors have at their fingertips now on the road, where they can literally be at a property and pull information in real time with tablets that they have, and through that information and research are able to see, for instance, if a shed was placed on the property and that shed got a permit and then that improvement was added to the tax bill. If in fact that isn't the case on the records that they see, then they will come and inspect and assess and add that improvement and add it to the rolls. But clearly right now we do not have a mechanism to go out and review 170,000 parcels.
I don't think we're suggesting that.
No, but so as a result of that, we have to rely on people being honest and coming in and pulling permits, and as they And if they do not, and if we catch them, we use the term, we pick it up, then we add that to the assessment roll.
I think the question is, if we pick it up, should there be something to have a way to look back potentially?
If there isn't a penalty, there's no encouragement for them to do it until they get caught. So if there was a penalty out there, just a flat penalty, like say a $100 fine for building without a permit, no matter when you get caught. I agree with you. You'll never get back and figure out how many years it's been there and all this other stuff. But if it does pop up and they didn't have a permit for it, should there be a one-time penalty?
I guess it's just a open question.
So that people out there know that if they don't get it done, they could have this extra $100, $200, but it needs to be, I think, a strong enough penalty that would, when they see that, they are encouraged to do it. You know, it's like if, whatever. Anyway,
sure.
So I do think it's time to, we tightened up in that area too.
Give you Mr. Jennings something to think about. You haven't got enough more to think about.
So George, you're recommending a percentage? Is that what you're recommending?
No, I don't think that's what he said.
No, Ira's back there giving me hand signals.
How about it's only $100?
What's that? No, I didn't say anything.
And house costs $100,000, for sure you do.
That was an example.
Wouldn't that be a percentage?
I think the staff needs to maybe look at it, come back to us.
The answer might be you can't do anything. I don't know.
I think there is a need to look at something in that area.
Mr. Wright, you're still up?
I do. I got a few more here. So that was point number one. So I'm glad that those others feel something that we should perhaps look at that. The other thing that I noticed, of course, we took the vote because it was kind of the state, we have to do it. But I'm curious, and I don't know if we even have the answers, but I want to pose the questions, that because we have to vote on it every year. But that is the Delaware Transportation Funding Budget. And I know that it was a $12 decrease from this budget compared to the last budget. And the question I would ask is why, when our retiree population and the need of transportation has gone up. Why did that budget go down?
Because they had a budget problem in Dover.
I'm posing the question. So, and then why the large differences? I saw, you know, some very large differences. You know, Cheer getting $500,000 and somebody getting like $5,000. So that leads to what formula are they using to funding this? I have no clue. Do you have any idea?
Sure. I did call about the $12 just to see if it was a typo, because it was only $12, not thinking. Nobody got back to me. I'm thinking it was a rounding thing, because now they round it to $50 instead of $62 is the only thing I can think of. It's not in the grant and aid section, so it didn't see the big cut that most of them did. It's through the epilogue language of the budget bill. Each of those agencies you see on there submit a expense report to us and also the state. And it's in line every year what they submit to with what they get. They obviously ask for a little bit more. There was $1 million in request. There's $700,000 in funding. It's a little bit different, but there is no swing. Like Cheer's getting the most, but they request the most. And it's based off of certain expenses of transportation. It's not just transportation of taking them to different events. It's different. There's only certain ones that qualify. So this funding's been the same since 2010. Last time it changed was when Easter Seals used to be in it, and we reallocated their money to the other ones. But there's nothing from the request that would make me want to recommend taking money from another organization and giving it to another agency, because they're it's right in line with what we've given them in the past and what they're requesting.
And I would guess, too, that certainly Cheer has a number of locations.
Right.
That fall all in that one.
Right.
Bubble, I guess.
Right.
Sure. Okay.
And certainly if I got a call from any of those senior centers asking why do we not get more or anything, I would bring that to your attention, and we would have to discuss, is that worth taking it away from the other organization, because it's a flat amount of money.
Right. I just, that's the background, and I appreciate it, because I did not know the background on that one. And then the in reference to the presentation about the illegal dumping and it getting resolved, the $1,650, is that reimbursed back to the county? Is that a lien that we put on the property? And if not, should we?
We spent it.
Is that because it came from something that was already allocated in the budget?
Came out of your grant money.
Come on down, sir. Thank you, Councilman. Yeah, that was part of our budgeted programs and projects for such events that we can contribute to in the community. Okay. So we're not looking for a reimbursement of that $1,650.
Should we? I'm just wondering.
Well, if we were looking at should we get reimbursed, we would have gotten in line. We would have done the whole project and leaned the whole property.
Right.
But the communication that we had with the guy who wanted to do the work for us, he just needed some assistance. So we contributed to it. He got the job done, and we just moved on.
Okay. All right.
In other types of situations, we have done that. But in this one, the quickest way to remedy this problem was to just go ahead and fund that.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Final one, Mr. President.
Yes,
sorry.
Sir.
And that is, I know this last month we as a council have voted on several water treatment expansions. I think really quite a few, actually.
Wastewater?
Wastewater. Yeah. I mean, you know, the outflow, I mean, we voted on several things this last month. So the question that I have is I know that there is a need for that, and our staff comes up with these recommendations based on what they're projecting. My question is, are we communicating these expansions to and including them in our land use plan with our commission, and also with that of DelDOT? I'm just trying to figure out ways. We're voting on agreeing further expansions of our wastewater. Are we communicating what we're doing and what these numbers really mean to other parts of this process so we can ensure we're providing the best results for our constituents?
Great question. I would say to the first with the commission, that exercise is probably best viewed through the planning zoning's work being done on the comp plan right now. And they have taken a very deep dive into the maps of both what we are doing currently with wastewater and what the future projections look like. And Hans and Mr. Ashman have been involved in that conversation. Is it happening in real time as it relates to the commission's decisions on land use? Only in the fact that when an application is in front of them, particularly for a housing request, there is a question to the county engineering department of whether or not county sewer is available. As we expand and update, I'm not certain that those updates are given to the commission in real time. On the DLDOT question, I was in a recent meeting with DLDOT staff relating to coordination between the county and the agency, and it was very evident that there is a lack of coordination between our land use decisions and their transportation decisions. And of course, when you talk about investment in infrastructure like wastewater, those investments usually spur or kickstart the land use applications relating to housing. So that is something that we aim to improve and discussed in that recent meeting to make sure that they have real-time information relating to what the county's doing.
So as a follow-up question, I mean, I have no idea what if we add it all up, what we just agreed upon as a council this last month on these expansions, and what that equates to as far as numbers and units, i.e. homes and commercial, I don't know what those numbers are, other than the fact that we are agreeing to expand because that's what's needed and that's what's being recommended. So is there a number that we are in each of these systems that we're communicating back over to DLDOT? This last month we've agreed to this, we voted on this, these are the timelines and expectations. From the county's perspective, how are we going to relay that information over to DLDOT for their planning purposes also?
So reference that meeting in regards to room for improvement in the coordination. We're still trying to determine how best to make sure that both agencies are talking to one another. Keep in mind, some of these expansions, there are existing homes already. So we're just coming in, replacing their current septic system or otherwise with a county system. So it won't really add to the transportation question. But for future, like the wastewater approval that took place at the last council meeting regarding the west side of the county, right. We certainly need to make sure that DLDOT's aware of that, because I think it'll have an impact on the western side. So it's a work in progress. I don't have a clear answer for you right now as it relates to what we can do to improve that coordination, other than to tell you that it should be improved.
Okay.
Any more comments from Mr. Cole?
Yeah, Everett, put your thinking hat on here a little bit. I'm getting a number of calls and emails from, there's a subdivision referred to as Fairway Village Development in that Ocean View area. It was presented and went through the process as a single family homes / condo development. And some, I think where I'm getting these emails from, I think are people have moved in and purchased under the original scenario. What has happened now, and either market conditions or something changed, but now they've created a new entity within this approved subdivision, and they're marketing the condos now as apartments, as a rental apartments and rental properties. And so the questions are, can a developer come and get approvals for condos and single families, and then I guess shift the marketing to a condo now being an apartment, which is now going to be a rental property. I guess a townhouse can be a condo. If I own the condo, or any of these people own their condo, they can rent them, obviously, unless there's, I guess, deed restrictions. But is there anything from our point of view, from what the county's approved, that if a developer changes the marketing plan from single-family home and condos to a rental type of community?
First, the one that you specifically mentioned, we were aware of that, and that was brought to our attention. And I believe if you check, you'll see that's not in our jurisdiction. It was in one of the towns,
okay,
as opposed to county jurisdiction.
Correct.
There is some flexibility that is often given to developers. In particular, if you, as you said, if you own a unit, there's nothing to preclude you from running that unit.
Unless there's deed restrictions. I mean, a community can have deed restrictions.
They can have deed restrictions.
Right.
There's oftentimes, too, changes made if it's a long-time development of a project. And I believe what I saw on this one in particular was roughly 8 years. Oftentimes, that's done in phases where there's possibly different restrictions on different phases. Also, because the developers want to have the ability to change with the market as they develop different phases. So that all has to be taken in consideration. If it is approved for a certain type and it's changed, then oftentimes they have to come back and ask for a change on what was presented. What I'm getting at, it's very fact-driven by the individual subdivision.
As they were asking, my response was, like, if it's in the county, I mean, I wasn't sure how to answer that, and I don't think after your explanation, I still don't think I'm sure.
I know that,
but I'm just saying, in the event that somebody starts out a subdivision, pick any of them you want, and all of a sudden, the townhouse condo portion of it becomes rental apartments. Still the same, I guess, the same model. I mean, a townhouse can be a condo, whatever. But anyway, whatever multifamily product they put in there becomes a rental product. We can't stop that. Was my guess on the approach that the county would have.
It's very fact-driven.
Unless we put a condition in an RPC that you could, right, okay.
Just if I can add one comment. I received an email from that same constituent, actually yesterday morning, and yesterday morning they received an email back from me letting them know that we confirmed with our staff here, and this property is located within the town limits of Ocean View. And I directed them to Ocean.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. I just have a question in general. If, you know, how do we approach it if it was in the county and somebody does a change like that? Are we at the mercy of whatever the developer wants to do? But I guess in an RPC, Everett, we could dictate. You can't really dictate that an individual owner can't rent, but can we dictate to a developer that he doesn't develop, that this is going to be single families and residential condos, not a condo rental type of thing?
We could possibly do that. Yes.
So we may want to look at that as we go into the future. Okay.
Any more council member comments? Council member comments. Entertain a motion to go to executive session for pending litigation.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Go to executive session for pending litigation. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Burton.
Yes.
To Wilson.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now in executive session. Penalty.